this time of year. I love these publications that come out. I mean, you know what? Usually they're wrong. Isn't that true? I like the one from 1967. 1967, they predicted by the year 2000 that technology would have taken over all of our jobs so that the average American would only work about 22 hours a week and only about 27 weeks a year. And so it says the biggest problem Americans were going to have in the year 2000 is what to do with all of their free time. Is that true? That didn't work out that way. Or how about these scientists? I love this. Scientists said back in 1952 that by the year 2000, three letters of the alphabet were going to vanish from existence. They said C and X and Q were going to vanish from written language because they're so unnecessary. They just had it figured out. No C's, no X's, and no Q's. And then I love this one at best. By the year 2000, they said this in 1957, by the year 2000, they'll have three-dimensional television, including smell-o-vision, that every home would have smells emitting from this machine that made you totally involved. I don't know if I'd want that in some of these television shows, actually. I know it. Imagine, I don't know if I want to, watch some of the shows that we watch and then smell those things at the same time. But friends, today we're at the flipping of the page Sunday. Okay? We stand on the edge of a new year. A chance to flip the page. A fresh year stands before us. Like a page in our journal. Anybody love just flipping the page to a new page in your journal? And you go, or a whole new journal? Yeah, I love a whole new journal. You look at it. Sister's especially good at that. She loves those journals. Dan is good at that. Just loves to open a new journal. But what are we going to put in that? What are we going to write for this new year? You're so wise in what you're saying, praying for clarity about what this new year holds. And we're going to be talking about a lot this next month. We're going to be looking at the 2020 vision for Wellspring. Where are we headed? What do we want to do? How are we going to grow this place? We got to grow this place, right? We got to make it happen. We got a building. Now we have to grow the church. But today, the Lord has laid on my heart to encourage you in this way. It's time to shut the gate. It's time to shut the gate. You know, when I played football, I only played a couple of years because I had terrible coaches. They were terrible. But the one good thing this coach Fritz ever told me, he reminded us that football is one game at a time. You can't play the game you just played last week, this week. You can't play the game you have to play next week, this week. But if you bring the fumble you had last week or the interception you had last week or the missed tackle, if you bring it with you today, it'll make you hesitant in the game you're playing today. So he would tell us the first day of practice on Monday, he'd said, okay, guys, it's time to shut the gate. It's time to put the old game behind you. Let's look at this next game with new, fresh eyes. Shut out those failures and problems from yesterday. And let's look at today and this next game with clean eyes. So today, I want to remind you to do the same. It's time, friends, that we shut the gate on those things that hold us back. As we look at the new year, our past can hold us back, can be an anchor around our neck, around our throat. So I want to take you back to Philippians 3. Turn in your Bible to Philippians 3. We come here so many times at this time of year because I love this scripture. Paul gives us a great vision for how we move ahead by explaining how we shut the gate. Let's pray first. Lord God, we come to this, your holy word, today. I pray for your Holy Spirit's help. We need it today, Lord. The words of my mouth must be your word, not mine. But Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through this weak vessel. More importantly, Lord, I hope and pray that you will speak to hearts today, that we'd all be able to shut the gate on the things that hold us back and really focus on looking ahead to the new year. And specifically, some of these things we're talking about today are painful. And Lord, I pray that as we pray these things through today, that you'll give us healing in those areas. And we truly be able to turn the page on some of these past experiences and past people and look for the future. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your holy word, and I pray that you would speak through me to each of us today and give us the exact message you would have us to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn over to Philippians 3. You remember this great scripture here. And we're just going to look at 13 and 14. Because Paul says here, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I love this strategy of life, this strategy of moving ahead. Because number one on your outline here, Paul was ready to win. He was ready to win. I want you to notice in here he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have received it. Paul had an expectation in his mind that there was more, that there's something coming. Friends, you have to realize that there's something coming for you and me. There's a yet. And if you've already decided that you can't win, if you've already decided you can't succeed, if you've already given up, you're done with. It's just like wrestling. Until you're pinned, you keep fighting. The minute you stop is the minute you get pinned. You keep moving and wrestling because if you quit, you will fail. If we decide we can't win, we'll just quit. And so many of us are going into the new year already with a failure mentality. And I love Paul's humility here. He comes at it with a realistic humility. Friends, I haven't gotten there yet. Have you got there? Have you reached your pinnacle? Have you fulfilled all that God has called you to do? I hope not. Because you know what? I believe God has bigger plans for you and me than we ever imagine or dream. And even for Wellspring, I tell you, I am so excited. We're going to be looking back over this next month at all the things that happened since basically December of 2018. And all throughout 19, how God led us one step. Remember that? Do you realize, guys, only a year ago, and here we are. No, a little more. And just, you know, I remember on Ava's birthday, the buildings arrived here, you know, and things began to happen. So anyway, we're excited about all that, but we have to believe that the yet is still coming. Because surely we haven't arrived at our final location. We haven't arrived at our final vision. In fact, I hope you see that spot over next door as a constant reminder that we have visions for much more than this. We believe there's so much more yet to come. So the question is, how can we get to that yet? And then Paul says this, so beautiful, number two on your outline. He was really focused. He says, but one thing I do. He's really focused. He says, but one thing I do. Listen, there's two ideas here that I want to keep you in mind. When he says, but one thing I do, there's an implied today. It didn't say one thing I did. It doesn't say one thing I will do. It says, no, one thing I do today. In other words, friend, this must happen every single day. We have to come back to it. And then nothing will happen by chance. Nothing's going to happen without a plan, right? You have to have a focused desire. Like you all know that I'm having a great time wrestling with my weight problem. And let me tell you, am I going to solve it by just saying, well, I want to lose weight. Is that going to solve it? What do you have to do? You have to get a plan. You have to get focused. You have to say, today I'm going to lose weight. Today I'm going to eat right. Today I'm going to exercise. Today I'm going to be committed to my own health. Because you know what? God cannot use me or you if we're not able to be used by God because of our health. Come on, amen? Again, we love to hang out with family. We love to see, but what I see about people that are further ahead of me on the age range, how you say it nicely, older than me, and every one of them would look at me and tell me, you better take care of yourself. When you get to be our age, it's going to be harder. Especially your teeth, apparently. Teeth are something you really got to take care of younger so you can have them later on. But Paul says here, one thing I do, I'm committed to being prepared for the yet to come. I'm prepared to flip this page. I want to do great things that God has in mind for me. And he was focused on it. He was really focused on it. So again, I'm challenging you. I hope you're not going to meander into this new year. Yeah, I know. Nobody keeps their resolutions. I know that. But I'm not talking about losing weight. I'm not talking about exercising. I'm not talking about spending more time with family. I'm talking about deciding to make a spiritual discipline to go deeper with God. To do something in 2020 that I've never done before, spiritually speaking. Maybe God is calling you out of your comfort zone, out of your box. It's going to take focus. And here is what he says. The one thing that he wants to do is to remember to shut the gate. Number three, remember to shut the gate. I want you to remember to shut the gate, forgetting what is behind. Paul said we have to forget what happened in the past, what is holding us back, what happened yesterday. Even the good has a limit to it. So I want to talk about four things, four gates that you need to shut. I need to shut. We need to shut. Because he talks about next, straining forward. He talks about reaching for the prize, all that. But guess what? There's something that can hold you back when you're reaching forward. Something can hold you back. It reminds me of Paul's words later when he talks about we run the race. He says, lay aside every weight of sin that so easily holds us back. How many runners have you ever seen that have weights on their shoulders? They wear these skimpy clothes to try to get as light as they can get. Because they want to forget those things. They want to take off those things that hold them back. So let's talk about these four things right quick. And I really want us to pray through these things today. Because I want you to begin with me. I want us to begin together to close the gate on some of these things in our lives that hold us back. Number one, let's talk about regrets. Regrets. Anybody have regrets from the past? Look back in your life and you think, well, I should have done this or should have done that or didn't do this or I didn't do that. Psychologists have been studying it for years. And they said earlier in your life, most people regret their actions. You know, I shouldn't have done that. It says, surprisingly, as you grow older, older people regret their inactivity, what they didn't do. They think to themselves, well, I should have, I wish I would have done this, you know? Let me tell you what happens with regret. This is what the challenge of regret is. It leads to the fear of risk-taking. It leads you to hesitate when it comes to doing risk because maybe you failed before. Maybe you tried this before and it didn't work. And so the natural thing to regret is to make you think twice about whether I want to step out next time. It tends to draw you into this fear cycle because then the regret leads to more regret. Because then you didn't do it because you were afraid from last time and therefore you have more regret. Boy, I still wish I could do it. You know, I'm thinking about a man named Peter. Do you remember Peter? Great man of God, the whole leader of the disciples, right? But was Peter perfect? In fact, what did Peter do at the end of Christ's ministry that was so horrific. He denied Christ publicly 3 times. He said, I don't know the man. I don't want to have anything to do with him. I deny him. And then the scripture says, and this is a poignant moment, Peter broke down in tears, didn't he, when the cock crowed? Why? He just regretted the whole thing. He just said, oh my goodness, what have I done? I have just failed the Lord. And you know, Jesus could have been the kind of person that walks around and says, you know what, Peter, you messed up. But he wasn't. We know the answer to these kind of regrets. Christ came to Peter and said, I need you back on the team. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? I mean, more than all of this. Yes, I love you. Peter was restored by Christ. And listen, I know that we take risks and I know we may fail even as a church. We're going to try some things we've never tried before here. And it may bomb like crazy. But we're not going to be afraid of trying, are we? We got to have boldness. We got to have boldness to try again. I'm encouraging you, be bold in your faith again. Step out and meet that person. Invite that person. Speak the faith. Be like Peter was, a man of bold faith. You know, we could be if only type people. Because believe me, I hear it all the time. People who live in the past and they say, oh, if only I'd done this. If only this had happened. If only I had this chance. And these people live in the past. I'm telling you, Paul says, forget what lies behind. Close the gate on your regrets. Come on, let's pray. Lord God, I just pray right now in the quietness of this moment that you would call to mind any regrets that we have about last year or even previous in our lives. Things that we've missed, things we've done wrong, mistakes we've made. Lord, we know we fail sometimes. We've all made mistakes. Father, we need the restoration that Peter received from you, how you met him and you invited him to come back in. You forgave him. You loved him anyway. And Lord, you're doing the same for us today, Father. I pray that we would receive the restoration that you come to us and you say, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me more than all of this? That we'll be bold to say, yes, Lord, yes. Though I fell before, Father, this year, I'm going to be bold and faithful to you every day. Lord, give us that boldness to step out again and risk in our faith and believe in you for bigger things this new year. And let us close the gate on those regrets from the past. In Jesus' name, amen. Number two, the second R is rebellions. Rebellions, you know, we're also sinners. Is there an amen somewhere? Anybody else in the room? Maybe I'm the only one. But really, you know, I know what's right. You know what's right. And yet we still choose to do what's wrong sometimes. Whether it's our thoughts, whether it's our actions, whether it's our words. You know, we call them sins, don't we? The problem with this is that this when you fail and you fail God even, you begin to feel unworthy. Anybody else feel unworthy with the Lord? You come to him in your prayers, you come to the altar with him, and all you feel is just unworthy. You say, Lord, how can I deal with this? How can you deal with me? I'm a sinner. I keep making mistakes. I keep sinning. And it just leads to an unworthiness. And then I'll tell you what else. Just like in the diet world, how many of y'all have had that muffin or that sweet thing, and then you say, well, I might as well just eat whatever I want today because now I've messed up. Come on, anybody else know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know, when you decide that you're a sinner that can't be healed, you just open yourself up to sin as much as you want. It becomes an open permission to live your life the way you want. And you know that this rebelliousness just leads to more rebellion. But here's the good news for you today. Christ died for your sins, for my sins. In fact, I love 2 Corinthians 5:17. Write this on your paper there. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone away and the new has come. You're not that same person anymore. Even as you come and reconfess, you know, 1 John 1:9 says, you confess your sins and He is faithful and just and will forgive your sins. You can start over with Him, a fresh start. Now, good old Las Vegas. Anybody ever heard of Las Vegas? They've come up with a great idea. It's called the Connection Confession Line. You can call now for, I think, $9 for 3 minutes. And you can confess your sins to a recorder on the telephone. Apparently, it makes you feel better to be able to confess your sins to a recording device. Now, for a few extra dollars, you can hear the recordings of other people's sins. How about that idea? And believe me, they say it's going like gangbusters. People are more interested in hearing other people's sins than they are sharing their own. So anyway, they can always make money out of everything, anything at all, you know. So I just challenge you and I to resolve to a fresh start. You remember that book called Scarlet Letter? Remember that book? That lady had to wear an A on her because she was branded and people looked at her that way. The great news is the blood of Christ washes away that A, washes away that sin. All that stuff is washed away in the eyes of God. So your rebellion, you need to shut the gate on it. You need to repent of your sin. You need to come back to God. If you know He's telling you something that we're not supposed to be doing, stop doing it. Repent. Start fresh this year and say, I am not giving in to that addiction anymore. I am not giving in to that sin anymore. In the name of Jesus, I want to start fresh this year. I want to shut the gate on that rebellion. Number three, resentments. Oh boy. Anybody in the room been hurt by somebody? Anybody been treated evil or had a hard time? Oh Lord, I think everybody has. I think about a man named Joseph back in the day when he was, you know, sold into slavery by his family. He then was put in prison. He then was lied about. Remember all those stories? Talking about a man who could be overwhelmed with resentment. Practically his whole life, people were doing things to him. God had blessed him, and yet all these people had turned against him. And the problem with resentment, it leads us to not trust people anymore. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You tend to not want to trust that next person because you've been hurt so often. We have trust issues with people. And then that leads to isolation and hopelessness. Because if you can't trust people, you feel like you're all alone in the world. Come on, am I talking to anybody? We can get so afraid and so full of hurt that we just isolate and marinate. And let me tell you, that does not work very well for anybody. The more we isolate, the more we get away from other people, the more we hide from other people because we can't trust them, the worse and worse we get. So, what's the answer? How do you close the gate on resentment? Well, you begin to trust God to show you who you can trust. God will show you. You can't just trust everybody for sure. But believe me, look around this room. You know us. We know you. We love you. You're not alone. And you can trust people like us. As the Lord leads you in wisdom, you have to engage with people again. You have to keep trying. We have to stay engaged with our family, with our friends. We have to keep trying to work through. Because you know what? What happened to Joseph? Was all this a horrible, evil plan for his destruction? No. God used this opportunity to elevate him. In fact, God put him in all of these situations for the very purpose of saving his own family later. Sometimes we don't understand why people do what they do. But you can trust God to work through people and to help you. And then the last one, and this is kind of strange. Maybe you think all the positive things, I should keep that gate open. But really, rewards. The last one is rewards. The places where you have it all together, friends, sometimes are the places where you're most vulnerable. Because you know what it means? I got this, God. I can handle this one. I can do this one. And that's exactly where Satan uses you to mess you up. I think about the Pharisees, you know. Didn't they have it all together? Weren't they the wisest ones? Didn't they know the scripture? I mean, many of them had memorized most of the whole, you know, Pentateuch. They knew all that. And yet what happened to them? They became so prideful because of their abilities and because of their blessings. They thought they were raised up by God to be above and superior to others. You see, these rewards leads to a prideful attitude in our own self-righteousness. We think, boy, I'm good. I do this at church. I do that at church. I do this. Everybody thinks I'm something. And of course, this leads to a lack of dependence upon God and self-focus. Look at me. So I would say to you, how do you close the gate on rewards like this? Seek servanthood positions. Seek it and expect no reward. That's the only way to begin to close this gate, is say, Lord, put me in a place where I can serve behind the scenes that nobody will ever see me. Doesn't mean he won't put you in front of people too, but we all need to be behind the scenes. Hey, come join me. Let's go to the hospital together. You know what? Going to the hospital is a humbling reminder. If we can walk, if we can sit in this room together, if we can breathe air, we are very blessed, aren't we? And of course, it's okay to ask God to provide people to keep you humble. You know, we need to be seeking God to provide the right kind of people that can help us be humble. Because look, Paul said, forgetting what lies behind. Why? What is the next part of it? Because he wants us, the last part is to renew our commitment to the call. Look what he says. I'm straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Three great phrases. Paul said, I'm straining forward. Straining forward. The word there in the Greek actually means to extend your muscles to their furthest extent, to stretch yourself. I mean, to stand on your tiptoes and try to push out as far as you can. Paul is stretching himself. He says, I press on, I'm pushing on, and I want to win the prize. I don't want the second place. I want to win the prize. He talks about it in other places. Don't you understand that not all runners win, only one wins? We need to strive to win. Paul said, we press on, but if you have these things that you haven't shut the gate on, these resentments, these bitternesses, these regrets in your life, they'll hold you back from stretching forward and winning the prize. You know, friends, it goes to this. You and I have to choose in 2020 whether we're going to be a hold-on person or a press-on person. You see, a hold-on person is a victim of their circumstance. Oh, let me just hold on. Get through this. Their goal in life is to survive. If I can just survive this, that's the hold-on mentality. But guess what? The only thing they're going to get is resentments and fears. They're going to say, I survived, but it wasn't easy. But Paul was a press-on person. A press-on person is a person who's a victor despite the circumstance. In fact, Paul had it easy, didn't he? Hey, he was a man of God. He had it easy. No, he suffered. He was in jail. He was shipwrecked. He went through all of these beatings and trials and tribulation. And yet, Paul was a press-on man. He believed in going beyond. The goal of the press-on people is to win, not just to run. The goal of a press-on person is, I want to win in 2020. I don't want to just run. And friends, I want Wellspring to be a press-on church. We want to win. We don't want to just survive. We don't want to just exist. We want to win. And you know what? When people begin to press on, take risk, trust God for bigger things, those are the people who experience the miracles of life. Because a hold-on person, they're never going to step out of their little safety zone, you know? I'm just holding on. But a press-on person is the one stepping out of the boat, walking on the water, saying, Lord, you got to do something that only you can do. Yes. You know, Satchel Paige, one of my favorite baseball players, he kind of opened the whole world of baseball to the African American. But he has a famous saying they told him, they said about him. He said, don't look back. Something might be gaining on you. You know, he said, you know, when you live in your life, if you're always looking back, all you're worried about what's gaining on you. But when you're a press-on person, you're looking ahead, saying, look, where am I gaining on? I'm going somewhere else. It's trying to drag you down. How are we going to have a successful 2020 if we don't shut the gate? You know, again, I just want to open the altar for us. Maybe there's people in your life. Maybe there's sin in your life. I don't know what you're dealing with today. I know what I'm dealing with. But I just pray that we would just come and just meet God here today and just ask Him to help us to close the gate on those things in our lives. We're asking for a well to spring up, starting right here at the well spring. You know, that's the source. The well spring is the source. I love the scripture right here. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Love it. Isaiah 43. You need to read that. Father God, as we go forth today, may you begin the well to spew right here from this place. May we be the center of your will and purpose for this whole community. And Lord, it must begin with each one of us. We have to be willing to submit to your will personally. And then we as a church must submit to your will corporately. And then you can do amazing work. So Lord, we claim it today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.